Cryptonauts, welcome back to another episode of Cryptocurrency Chat. I am your host, Blockchain John, with episode 544 for the day. We're currently on the 24th of August. This recording should have happened yesterday, but I was on the road yesterday, so I'm making up for it. Just bring you guys some crypto news for the day. So now, with that said, I do appreciate those likes, those subscribes, those follows. Those are awesome, awesome, awesome. So if you do like these this podcast and would like to support it, please click the subscribe button, the like button, the follow button, or leave a comment how much you like it. Or if you want to take it to the next step, we do have a coin tree available. If you guys want to hop donate via crypto, here's a bunch of coins you guys can donate. Bitcoin, Ethereum, Dogecoin, Litecoin, Tron, Monero, etc., etc. Or if you guys want to follow us on Nostr, the episodes are up on there. One of the best platforms that I like, and keep in mind, the podcast is distributed across pretty much every single podcasting platform. The one that I like the best is Fountain.fm, because on Fountain.fm, you can actually earn crypto, specifically Bitcoin, not just crypto, Bitcoin. You can earn Satoshis for listening to the podcast, right? That's awesome. So with that said, make sure you guys follow, listen to the podcast on Fountain.fm. With that said, what else do we have? Let's see. You guys can watch the YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter. And Twitch is live streaming right now. If you guys want to watch that, that does live stream at Sundays and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific time. If you guys want to hang out with us in Discord, there's a Discord channel available. Follow us there. Hang out with me there. I'm there every single day chatting with people. So with that said, let's head on over to the crypto market of the day. Let's see, what do we have? Where are we at? Let's see, the market cap is at $1,096,330,000,000, down by 0.7%. Bitcoin at $26,000, Ethereum at $1.6,000, Tether 99 cents, BNB at $217, XRP at 51 cents, USD coin $1, Lido staked Ether at 16.59, Cardano at 26 cents, Dogecoin back in the top 10 at 6 cents, Solana $20.91. And that is our top 10 with Bitcoin dominance of 46.4% and Ethereum at 18.2%. And gas for Ethereum is currently at 44 Gwei. All right, now with that said, let's move on over to the news of the day. All right, we are getting our news from Decrypt.co, so I'm just going to show you here really quick what Decrypt.co provides. A bunch of news articles every single day. This is awesome. So check it out at Decrypt.co. All right, now our first news of the day is, and I thought we were done with this chapter. We're so far from done. All right, this is provided by Jason Nelson. Bitcoin developers say Craig Wright may be admitting that he stole 80,000 Bitcoin from Mt. Gox. Bum, bum, bum. All right, let's see what's going on. In an ongoing lawsuit filed by Craig Wright, self-proclaimed inventor of Bitcoin, attorney for the 12 Bitcoin Core developers targeted by Wright filed a preliminary issue application with the UK High Court. The filing purported to dismantle many of the plaintiff's claims, the Bitcoin Legal Defense Fund said in a statement on Monday. Wright claims to own 111,000 Bitcoin that were allegedly stolen from the Mt. Gox exchange. The defense notes that Wright lacks any documentation showing ownership of the missing Bitcoin and accuse him of fabricating the limited documents provided to the court. Quote, "We seek to have this claim struck out on the ground that it is a fraudulent claim and an abuse of process," Timothy Ellis, an attorney with Enyo Law LLP, said in a filing. "They seek to disclose and other case management direction to enable this threshold issue of fraud to be determined as a preliminary issue," end quote. A preliminary issue application is a legal tool that aims to resolve specific issues before a trial by addressing key points and potentially saving time and money for those involved in the proceedings. The case is Tulip Trading Limited versus Bitcoin Association for BSV and others. The former being Wright's company, the name of which references the tulip mania that gripped the Netherlands in the 1630s. The application lists the evidence that tulip trading must present in a preliminary trial to demonstrate it's owned the bitcoins in question, and also requests that tulip trading provide a security payment of $1.63 million to cover the cost of the case in the event that it is dismissed, the Bitcoin Legal Defense Fund said. Attorneys for the Bitcoin Core developers argue that Wright and his company did not own the Bitcoin involved in the lawsuit. If the court sides with the Bitcoin Core developers, Tulip Trading Limited must provide its ownership of the digital assets before the case can continue. Alice further claims that if Wright is the owner, he is admitting to stealing 80,000 Bitcoin worth around $2 billion today. It is widely accepted that in the cryptocurrency community that the Bitcoin and the one fixed address originated from a well-publicized hack on the Japanese cryptocurrency exchange that occurred in March 2014, defense attorney wrote. Essentially, it appears that if Dr. Wright is the owner of the Bitcoin and the one fixed address, which is denied, he has effectively admitted to being the person who stole 80,000 Bitcoin from Mt. Gox. Founded in 2021 with support from the former Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, the Bitcoin Legal Defense Fund is a nonprofit organization that supports Bitcoin developers in legal cases. In April, the Bitcoin Legal Defense Fund supported the defense of the Bitcoin Core developers targeted in Wright's lawsuit. The Bitcoin Legal Defense Fund, Bitcoin Association for BSV, and the attorneys for Tulip Trading Limited have not yet responded to Decrypt's request for comment. All right, so that is actually news to me, and I believe it's news to you, right? So, what is Craig Wright going to do? Is he going to show that he has the 80,000 Bitcoin or not? And if he does show them and admit that he does own them, right, he's probably going to be charged for hacking these coins and stealing them. $2 billion, that's a lot of money. So, what is it, Craig? Tulip trading? Interesting, eh? All right, next news. Provided by Matt DeSalvo. Feds charge Tornado Cash founders with money laundering, arresting one. All right, I thought we were done with this too, but apparently not. The news continues. The U.S. Department of Justice hit the founders of Tornado Cash with money laundering charges today, arresting one while the other remains at large. In a Wednesday indictment, the feds alleged that Roman Storm and Roman Semenov laundered more than $1 billion in criminal proceeds and charged them with conspiracy to commit money laundering, sanction violations, and conspiracy to operate an unlicensed money transmitting business. Storm was today arrested in Washington State, the indictment said. While publicly claiming to offer a technically sophisticated privacy service, Storm and Semenov in fact knew that they were helping hackers and fraudsters conceal the fruits of their crimes, U.S. Attorney Damian Williams said in today's DOJ announcement. Acting Assistant Attorney General Nicole M. Argentieri said, "Cryptocurrency mixers have become the go-to method for criminals to conceal their ill-gotten gains." Tornado Cash is a popular coin mixer app used to anonymously send and receive Ethereum, the second largest digital asset by market cap. But the Department of Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control last year banned Americans from using the service, claiming that criminals had to use it to launder money, specifically naming the North Korean state-sponsored hacker organization Lazarus Group. Hackers used the app to launder funds after a $622 million hack on NFT gaming Axie Infinity's Ronin Bridge last year. Today's indictment alleged that Storm and Semenov chose not to implement Know Your Customer, KYC, or anti-money laundering programs as required by law. It further claims that they operated an app to facilitate hundreds of millions of dollars in further sanctions violating transactions. Bum, bum, bum. Yes, actually, we knew all that. I thought there was new news, but not really new news, other than, there's one arrested. Okay. Now, this next one, I think, is going to be pretty cool. Let's see what's going on here. All right, next news written by Decrypt AI. Bum, bum, bum. Yes, Decrypt is using AI, and they do actually have a section dedicated to that. And any other articles that does have some AI editorials in it, they will actually, what they did here was add here, like Decrypt AI, you know, and edited by Ryan Azawa. Former corrections officer charged in crypto fraud targeting police. A former New Jersey corrections officer has been charged by the Securities and Exchange Commission with defrauding hundreds of law enforcement personnel and first responders in a cryptocurrency investment scheme. John A. DeSalvo was charged on Wednesday with illegally raising over $620,000 from about 220 investors through an unregistered crypto token called Blazer Token, which collapsed in May 2022. What's particularly offensive about this case is that DeSalvo used his status as a former corrections officer to gain the trust of fellow law enforcement personnel, a number of whom invested their savings with him, said Gurbir S. Grewal, SEC Director of Enforcement. According to the SEC complaint, DeSalvo falsely claimed Blazer token was registered and approved by the agency. He also promised extraordinarily high returns and claimed the token would replace existing pension systems. Quote, "Our brave officers put their lives on the line every day to keep our community safe. To have one of their own betray that trust is unthinkable," said James Carter, president of the New Jersey State Police Benevolent Association. The SEC alleged DeSalvo targeted investors through social media. Within weeks of depositing the $95,000 he raised from 17 investors into his brokerage account, the SEC says, DeSalvo lost about $17,000 of those funds in speculative investments, misappropriated the remaining $78,000, and told investors that the group's securities had lost all value due to poor market conditions. He spent much of the raised funds on personal expenses, including a bathroom renovation. The SEC seeks financial penalties and a ban on participating in any future cryptocurrency offerings. Criminal charges have also been filed. Well, I bet. You know, I'm surprised they didn't get more than just that. I mean, why? Guess there's always scammers everywhere, man. Even in the department. All right, here's another one that's jumped onto my radar. I did not know about this until recently. And, you know, I initially ignored it, but the past couple of days, it is booming. So I want to let you guys know what this news article is all about. Friend.tech. Maybe you guys heard of it. Maybe you guys haven't. So I'm going to bring it here to you guys first. All right, this one's written by Jason Nelson. Friend.tech renames its token, but is it even legal? All right. All right, 3 months ago, after a largely unnoticed pivot, the social token platform Friend.tech is now the belle of the crypto ball, surfing a wave of popularity that has sucked in celebrities and surprised its creators. Its rapid rise has some calling it a Ponzi scheme. And late Monday, the app experienced an internal identity crisis, announcing that it was changing the name of its core assets, Shares. "We've renamed Shares to Keys," Friend.tech posted on Twitter. "The original name was a placeholder during development, and we think Keys better illustrates their purpose as in-app items used to unlock your friend's chat room." And here's a tweet from Friend.tech saying the same thing. "We've renamed Shares to Keys." All right. Staying off the radar of a certain SEC chair, Uncle Gary, may have also played a part in the decision to change the name. Well, on his way down a well-worn warpath against the cryptocurrency industry, Gary Gensler has labeled many digital assets as securities, and by calling their assets shares, Friend.tech could have found itself in his crosshairs. Quote, "My legal alarm bells went off when I saw that the tokens were called shares," Orlando Cosmi, founder and managing attorney at OC Advisory, told Decrypt on Telegram. "The reason for this is that an element of the Howey test is a reasonable expectation of profits." The Howey test is used in the United States to determine whether a transaction qualifies as a sale of an investment contract and would be considered a security under the Securities Act of 1933. That prong of Howey test is all about marketing and economics structure, Cosme explained. Things that influence how a purchaser could reasonably believe that their purchase could provide them with a financial return. If a transaction passes the Howey test, it is subject to securities regulations in the U.S. Friend.tech launched on Coinbase's Base scaling network for Ethereum earlier this month. The app lets users buy and sell keys, not shares, tied to their favorite Twitter accounts, providing them access to private in-app chat rooms with that user. By calling it shares, a purchaser may reasonably believe that they are buying something similar to stock, Cosme said. So it makes sense that they would change the brand name for the term and would have been what I would have advised a client to do. Like stocks, a share is a financial instrument representing ownership in a business or, in the case of Friend.tech, a person. The problem with calling its assets a share is that shares are definitely classified as a security by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. Regardless of the name change, Cosme told Decrypt, he doesn't believe the token on Friends.tech would be considered securities, but he said how users pitch their tokens matters. Quote, I think most tokens on Friends.tech wouldn't be securities, but an account can do things in a way they promote it. How they structure their chat and how they distribute funds to token holders that could potentially make them securities, he said. So you got to be very, very careful. Check it out. If you guys are actually on Base, obviously Base just came out not too long ago. Coinbase is, I guess, Ethereum Layer 2 protocol, DeFi. Not even sure because I'm not on it. But check it out. I guess you can hit up friend.tech on there. Or just look it up on YouTube. I'm sure there's a lot of people that actually made some videos on that. As for me, I'm not interested. I know anything that's Ethereum based. I just personally don't have any interest in Ethereum. I've lost interest in Ethereum long ago. You know, I was enjoying it in the early days because the gas fee was so low that the recurring transactions that I would do were so minimal, right? So all these I guess DeFi's or apps or games, primarily games that I played in the early days, I didn't mind them. You know, I would develop my character, you know, go on battles, go on adventures or whatever, and I would make these transactions that are required, obviously, by the game, and toughen up my character, you know, level up my character. And that was fun. That was cool. I like it because it was just like, you know, a fraction of a penny, maybe a penny here and there. It didn't bother me. But now it's like, dude, yeah, I'm not paying a few bucks every single time to do that kind of transaction. I'm good. So, yeah. I think what I'm doing now, the only game I'm really playing right now is DeFi Kingdoms. And again, because of transaction fees, they're relatively affordable. You know, and there's a lot of new games coming out that I'll be checking out here later on in the year. There's a lot in development. We did mention some games. So check out those previous episodes where we're talking about games. So yeah, let's see. That's pretty much it, Cryptonauts. I don't think I have anything else. That was our four news article of the day. We provide you guys the crypto, the market of the day. So yeah, Cryptonauts. Another good episode. Solid run. I like that. That's good. So can't complain. So with that said, Cryptonauts, until next time, stack sats and hodl. Adios.